Welcome to Hour 2. Dr. Randy Unleashed here, your post-holiday show, but actually not total holidays because we still have New Year's.
In between.
In between holidays. Right. This is the tween show. Welcome to our show. Let's, we have some animals
much is
to talk
that
about.
Doggy in the window? The one with the waggly tail.
Okay, from our good friends at Pima Animal Care Center, and I know there are a lot of our listeners that listen all over the country when we're doing our show, and this goes very much for all of your shelters and humane societies close by. So this is, I know it's, this is kind of local as far as our animals that are available. We have so many animals that need homes. So please be aware of adoptions. We're so much in favor of that on Radio Pet Fed. So for our Pima Animal Care Center, adoptions will remain $30 through the month of January. However, PACC is hosting a New Year Friend adoption party from January 2nd to the 4th. There'll be no adoption fee during this three-day event. There will be a $15 licensing fee, which always is applies. But wait, that's not all.
But wait, what else could there
but
be?
Wait, PAC will also have animals available for adoption at the PetSmart store located at Oracle in Wetmore, January 3rd and 4th from 10 a.m. to 3. So in addition to all of the New Year's adoption parties, they'll also be celebrating in pretty exciting adoption events at January 3rd at La Encantada, which is always a fun time, 10 to 3, and also January 3rd and 4th at the Oracle Wetmore PetSmart store, 10 to 3. So the animals that we're going to highlight today is Moki is the first one, an 8-year-old domestic medium hair female. Moki is sweet, mellow, and a love bug. She knows the true definition of catnap. She probably learned that from Paul, I imagine. Moki's previous owners were unable to care for her dental needs, but thanks to our amazing staff at PAC, Moki is in the clear. She'll also need to eat a special diet to help her promote her healthy, but with little TLC. She brings lots of love to your family. And then there's Pearl, a 2-year-old Queensland heeler female spayed. She's one of her best qualities is her ears, probably not red and inflamed like our caller before. Who can resist silly ears? I don't know. People have resisted mine for years. So Pearl is searching for the right family. She's an easygoing girl, loads of hugs and kisses to trade with you. She also gets along with other animals and loves to play. With little training, and Paul can help you on that, Pearl will be a great addition to your family. So come see them at Pima Animal Care Center. Their phone number, 243-5962, 4000 North Silverbell Road. Thank you for PAC and for Ellen for bringing us our pets this week.
And I just want to say,
yes, please.
Now's the time.
Now is the time.
It's after Christmas.
It is.
Okay, hopefully the tree's coming down soon and the safety factors of the parties, you know, whether it's alcohol being left on the table that the dog can get to or on the floor and candies and all these things that can be a little disconcerting, right? That's over with. You may still have some time now with the new holiday, with the new year coming up and such like that. So good time to adopt now.
Before the Super Bowl party starts.
Yes.
And the wings are left out and the ribs and then the other things we have to deal with.
Well, you know, all dogs are Pittsburgh Steelers fans.
I didn't know that.
Yes.
Really? Okay. Well, let's change our vein here and talk to Carol in Vail. Carol, good morning. Welcome to Radio Pet Fat.
Hi.
How can we help you?
I have a 4.5-year-old cat, and we moved out here to Pima County from Southern California about 3.5 years ago. And about once we were out here for about a year, I started noticing that she has a lot of sinus leaking.
Okay.
And I'd like some information on this, please.
Sure. So tell me, Carol, when you say sinus leaking, is it clear, white, yellow, green?
It's clear.
Clear.
I notice it when she climbs in my arms and I'm starting to pet her.
Gotcha.
Her fur is excessively wet, and then when I come across the top of her face, it'll leak into my hand.
Gotcha. Does she do any sneezing with this?
No.
Okay. And no coughing or any other kind of respiratory issues?
No, absolutely nothing.
Okay. Okay. Tell me what your... Is your house, do you have swamp cooling or do you have, what do you have, forced air?
Yeah, central air, central heat, correct.
Okay, good. Well, yeah, I mean, there are a host of things here that our animals can definitely be allergic to. Just one more question about the inside of your house here versus Southern California. More rugs? Less rugs?
No, less.
Less rugs. Good. Well, you solved all my problems. Now I can't tell you anything. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, you know, sinusitis, you know, any kind of sinus leaking, obviously we would be concerned about some type of inflammation, typically allergy, especially with a clear discharge. You know, when we get into the white, yellow, green discharges, then we start worrying about other types of things. But that would be one thing that I would be thinking of right away. Sometimes what I find with these cats that really helps is when you guys take your showers, if you can bring her into the bathroom and close the door and let her get some more moisture. You know, we're very different than Southern California. As you know, it's quite dry here.
Right.
And so they do dry out, and sometimes that will affect their sinuses and their respiratory pathways. So that's one thing that I would look at. Also, a cool air, like vaporizer, humidifier, where she sleeps, that often adds more moisture to the air and will help her too.
Okay, I can't do that because she chews on wires.
Okay. Well that I understand that. So then the other thing that you can think about also is starting her on some omega-3, 6 fatty acids in her diet. The reason why I do this is omega-3s and 6 are naturally anti-inflammatory, but they're also very self-moistening. They moisten from the inside. And so we're trying to keep her as moistened as possible. So there's a product from where you are. There's a feed store on Sarita Road called Vista Feeds.
Correct.
And they have small pet essential fats, and it's a little gel cap, and what you do is you pinprick it and put it on her food every day, and that will start moistening her from the inside. So I'd like to see you try that. The last thing is, what do you feed her typically? What type of food?
She gets 1/3 can of wet food 3 times a day to keep her bowels going regularly.
Good.
And then she goes on, trying to think of it, it's a expensive dry cat food that I get at the cat food stores. Something maintenance.
Is it Science Diet?
Science Diet,
okay.
Yeah.
I'd like you to think about switching that.
Okay.
Okay, here's why. Science Diet is an expensive food, and for the same amount of money or even less, you can do much better by getting the grains out of her diet. If you look at your Science Diet bag, usually the first ingredient is corn.
Okay.
And then they have soybean meal and rice meal and barley. I mean, it's a lot of grain. And usually, even their protein source is something like chicken byproduct meal, which is, in USDA terms, beaks and feathers.
Right.
So if you look at, like, Nature's Logic, there's a grain, really grain-light type diet, only has millet, which is the lowest glycemic index grain or the lowest fat-producing grain there is. But it's really high-quality protein. And you'll find that...
Nature's Logic, which one did you say again?
Any of them. There's duck, rabbit, chicken, salmon, whatever variety you think that she might like. And they have a canned food also that goes with it. It's wonderful. But any of the grain-light or grain-free diets, and you, Vista will have all of those there, you'll do so much better than the Science Diet.
Okay, now one more thing.
Yes.
Listening to you earlier today, she also has the hyperacidity syndrome.
Okay.
Would this be from the Science Diet?
Yes.
Or if I switched her to Nature's Logic? What I normally do is I give her 1/3 can of the wet food, and then with the dry food, instead of filling her dish, I only put about 10 or 12 in there at a time. It's cut down on the vomiting.
That's fabulous, because honestly, the dry food is very also what we call yin deficient in Chinese terms,
mm-hmm.
and it pulls water out of their body, and
okay.
so it makes them even drier, and we want to moisten her as much as we possibly can. So I would try all of that. Give it at least 60 or 90 days, and then let me know. I'd love to hear how she's doing at that point, because I think you're going to see a different situation.
Okay, thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks for calling, Carol.
Okay, bye-bye.
You know, I've seen a few doctors in my lifetime. They've never asked me about my yin levels.
Well, I can tell you. I mean, Shane and I know that you're a very yin-deficient person.
Yin deficient.
You don't drink enough water.
Oh.
Oh. thought process there.
You just got to tell them to add extra ice cubes to the scotch, Paul, like I do.
There you go. There you go. Very good.
All right. On that note, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to have Richard hang on. We'll be right back with a lot more Radio Pet Fit coming your way in just a moment. We're hoping you are flying like an eagle. We are here at Radio Pet Fed. Thanks for listening to the show. We want to remind you that we have a YouTube site. It's Dr. Randy Pet Vet. Also Facebook, Twitter, Vine, Instagram, Pinterest. We're all over the place. So please subscribe to the YouTube channel because you can get all of our YouTubes.
Now, are there people that do all those?
Yeah, there are people who do more than that.
Now with electronics, generally, if you subscribe to one, they all link.
They're
all linked. Yeah, like if you go to YouTube and you subscribe to a YouTube channel, everything's right there. It's got all the symbols, so you're linked to all of them.
Yes.
You know, it's just like Facebook. You know, if you link one on Facebook, you get the Twitter, you get the different feeds.
So then somebody's like spending hours and hours.
You are loved. Dr. Randy is loved.
My gosh.
I know. Okay. With that, let's talk to Richard in Corona de Tucson. Hey, Richard, how you doing?
Hey, Dr. Randy. Oh, thank God you're on today.
Hey, I'm happy to be here, thank God, as you said.
One-year-old Shih Tzu female.
Okay.
Yesterday, we noticed she was having like a breathing problem and also had blood in her stool. So pack her up, go to the vet.
Right.
An unnamed clinic.
Okay, good. And, thank you.
they said, well, and she did the breathing thing. Oh, that's a reverse sneeze.
Okay.
They told us it's common among dogs with snoot, you know, no snoot, you know, pug face kind of dogs. And then they, I took her stool sample in with me. They took that, and then they said, well, maybe we'll check her anal glands. And sent us home. They said, we'll let you know about the sample, and we're going to send this sucralfate tab 1GM. Does that mean anything?
Yeah, it does. It sure does. It's called carafate, but we'll talk about that in a second. Go ahead.
Okay, so, now.
Yes.
Okay, this morning, I just got her up about 20 minutes ago.
Yeah.
Ran outside. She pooped.
Yep.
And way more blood, and she kept trying to poop, and just blood was coming out.
Oh, geez. Okay.
Open today?
I'm sorry?
Is your clinic open?
It is. It is. We are there till 1 o'clock. You know, Richard, I'm greatly concerned about that history because in that age dog, how's her attitude? Is she you know, lethargic?
No. A little bit.
Okay.
She's quite active right now.
Okay.
But yesterday she was a little bit lethargic.
Right. Well, you know, a lot of things come to mind in that age dog with those kinds of signs, but you're right to be upset and you're right to be worried. Because, you know, I was telling Shane and Paul, we had a client that called us last week and called me on my cell phone, actually, and was in a tizzy about her dog pooping blood for a week. And by the time the dog got to us, normal packed cell volume for a dog is 35 to 60%. You know, that's how many red cells they should have. Hers were 15.
Oh, and Lord.
So this dog had what's called autoimmune hemolytic anemia. Now, I'm not at all saying your dog has that. But, you know, with the blood becoming more prominent, I worry about parvo. I know that it sounds crazy, but even a well-vaccinated dog, we've seen them when we do titers, that they're not protected. And they get exposed, you know, through the air or whatever, and that's a possibility. Has she gotten a hold of anything abnormal to eat, like any bones, anything...
Christmas Eve, we were getting stuff ready for Christmas dinner, and she likes veggies here and there, but we gave her some squash and broccoli, and she was eating it and seemed to like it.
Nah, that won't do it.
Oh, well, that was it.
Okay, because she's not vomiting at this point, right?
No.
Okay.
No.
So, you know, you think about something local in the bowel. I mean, I would think about... obviously, you know, parasites are still a concern, but I would think more mechanical. I would think more like something in the bowel that's irritating her where you're seeing fresh blood. Carafate, honestly, between you and I, is for stomach bleeding. Okay? Yeah. Carafate or sucralfate is for stomach ulcers when we're bleeding. And then that would look like black tarry stools, not fresh blood. So her problem is much more caudal, much more in the colon or small intestine. And, you know, there are lots of things that she can get that would be worthwhile. But I would be concerned about parvo. I'd be concerned about something that she might have picked up. So I would probably have taken a picture of her belly, because these aren't the things you want to mess with. You're absolutely right to be concerned. So, you know, give my clinic a call. It's 888-7297.
Just a second.
888-7297.
Okay.
And or, you know, get her into one of the emergency services. You know, Southern Arizona is on your way in, too. They're at Broadway and Prudence, and that's 888-3177. But any one of those places, somebody should see her today, Richard, and figure this out, buddy.
Yeah, I prefer your clinic. We're packed up and ready to go here. So
well, give them a call. I'm not sure. You know, obviously I'm in the station, so I don't know what they got going there. But
yeah.
Give them a call first and make sure everything's good and tell them we talked. But I would like you to have somebody take a look at her today.
Should I bring the poop sample?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, thanks, Dr.
Okay,
Randy.
Buddy.
Bye.
Good luck. Yep. Concern, real concern. I mean, it's just one of those things that you want to make sure we take care of right away. We've got Pat on the line for Paul, so let's let Pat talk to Paul. Hi, Pat.
Hi, Paul.
Yes, thanks for calling.
Hello.
Welcome to the show.
Welcome. I am very happy to be here. I'm very happy to be alive. Let's put it that way. It's a great life. Paul, I have a question about how the friend... an acquaintance, and they're in our training class. She has a shepherd, German shepherd, who's absolutely stunning, the old style shepherd, which is what I like. I don't like that look that they have now, but this shepherd is a Newskeet shepherd.
Okay. I'm familiar with the breed line.
Mm-hmm. She had to wait almost 2 years for them to hook her up with the right puppy. And
yes.
Of course, they interview these people. And she's not a spring chicken, but she's had shepherds all her life. And she's wanted one more before she goes to a small breed. And what happens is she has them in the socialization classes, maybe three different classes, puppy classes, in with our puppy classes. Now he's about a year old. He's a problem because you can look at him and talk to him, and then 5 minutes later walk out and come back in the room, and he'll go for you. So so everybody is a little afraid of him. He is, like I said, he's just gorgeous, but he is a handful. So I think it's to the point where all these great socialization classes as a puppy, good, but now he's a year old.
Yes.
So he's already injured her badly by dragging her, going after something.
Yes. You know, this is not an uncommon problem. It's not strictly German Shepherds, but, you know, a lot of these larger breeds, a lot of the breeds that are leaning towards being protective and such like that, a lot of times, they're going to be a problem. You know, and one of the things that's concerned me for years is, you know, when we have children, we start educating them right away. Socialization is a part of it, all right? But it seems like some trainers and such have kind of hit on this thing where they can charge for classes that are very, very social-oriented, and they're not recognizing that there are some dogs in there that need the education part of it, as young as they are, sometimes 8-10 weeks of age. Everything's taken into consideration size-wise and such like that, but it certainly isn't something that by now shouldn't have been addressed and placed in control of.
Mm-hmm. Well, she just neutered him.
Okay, well, you know, neutering might help a little bit, 10-20% at the most, but it's also going to be falling into that category of a learned pattern behavior. Pat, you know, I apologize, but, you know, we're on a time clock here and we're coming up to a break. Do you want to hold on, and on the other side of the break I can finish talking about this with you?
Sure.
Okay, we appreciate that.
So we're going to take a quick break, play the news and some commercials, and please support our commercial sponsors. They are lifeblood of this station. If you'd like to be a commercial sponsor, contact me at randy@drrandypetvet.com. We'd love to hear from you. We would be glad to welcome your company as long as we do some screening, make sure that you're a fit and we're a fit for you. But we would love to have you on the show and help build your business here in Tucson or wherever you are around the world. So please get in touch with us, and we'd love to help you. We'll be right back after this commercial break. Our phone number is 888-520-7297, 751-1041 to join the show. We'll be right back with a lot more Radio Pet Vet coming your way. Back. Paul is talking to Pat about German Shepherd behavioral issues. Let's continue the conversation.
Hi there, Pat.
Hi there.
Thanks for holding on.
So it's a lovely dog. I mean, he's just gorgeous, but I suggested at the very minimum put a pinch collar on him so she's got a little bit more.
That's a possibility. Now, it's got to be used properly so it doesn't exaggerate the problem. All right.
Right.
Timing is very important, and again, how it's used. I spoke to a caller earlier about voice tone, because you don't want the dog just learning to respect that leash and collar, because you know that becomes rather, you know, cumbersome to always have to have a leash and collar on the dog for it to behave. So you're using that tool to teach the dog to respond to what you're saying and how you say things. So there's a lot more involved than just being stronger and being able to deal out some punishment, so to speak, all right, or disciplinary stuff. I think in certain circumstances, I was saying before, you know, the route taken in this dog's education was not right. It needed to be started probably the day she got the dog shipped into her, or however she did obtain the dog. The training probably should have started right then and there. You know, some dogs are not made for group classes. Certainly, I like to look at it from a standpoint of, let's give this troubled youth a little extra attention, all right, and get it under control, and then use a group class as a more advanced training. It's a very difficult thing sometimes with these dogs with high drive and some behavioral quirks to put them into a social situation with people that aren't addressing the individual problem, because in group classes quite often there's too many to take up time to really, you know, separate the dog and give it some specific, you know, individual attention.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what I would love for you to do, Pat, is let this woman know that I will gladly come to her house, sit down and talk to her for an hour, absolutely free. No obligation. All right. And you may be right. I may be saying you need a pinch collar, but I want to make sure that she has an understanding of how to use it properly, how to fit it properly, you know, how to use her voice properly. And she can get all that kind of information at no charge. All right. And
okay,
maybe I can get her on the right path.
Good.
So okay, if you have a pen there, I'm going to give you my phone number, and please give it to
her. I have it, Paul.
Oh, you have it?
I have it.
Okay.
Yes.
Let
mm-hmm. Yes, and I will try to do that, because otherwise it's headed towards a dog that's going to be shut in the room whenever she has company. You can't take out in public.
No, it's
a shame.
That's going to be a more dangerous situation than what there is now, because, you know, those closet dogs that are raised and separated and not properly socialized and trained become a danger. They just become a danger. No good to anybody. Mm-hmm. So please, I appreciate your call. I hope you had a great holiday, and I will await to hear from her about setting up an appointment.
Okay, thank you, Paul, very much.
We appreciate your call, Pat. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. So we had a caller about with some rescue cats that was asking about Dynovite, the supplement. And I think Shane and I have talked about this before. We talked with our listeners about this before. My only concern about that supplement per se is it's very difficult to find out what the ingredients are, how it's made. It promotes and it says it does a bunch of different things. I always worry when you have your list of 10 things that it does. Basically, it sounds more like snake oil a lot of times to me than and I would say, if I'm looking at a rescue cats and I'm using it something like Dynovite, there's a product out there called PolyMVA, PolyMVA. It has a multiple vitamin that has a little bit of palladium in there. Palladium has been shown in small amounts to be a real immune booster, and it's an amazing product. I use it in a lot of my older animals. I use it for cancer. And so if I was going to use a multiple vitamin in liquid form, a drop of that in cat's food would be plenty every day. It's a very, very good product. We have it down at Paws Veterinary Center. You can look at it at PolyMVA for Pets is the website. Really, really great product. I would be much more inclined to do that than, obviously, the Dynovite that you were asking about. So good question. Our phone lines are open, 888-520-7297, locally 751-1041. We'd love to talk to you. Paul, one of the things the question comes up is what are the best breeds of dogs for kids? And I think that the question is a good one. And there was an article that I saw on the internet not too long ago that was describing that. So maybe you can chime in on this. I'll talk a little bit about it, but
I'll destroy it. Go ahead.
Well, I think there isn't a one size fits all.
True.
That's the first thing.
Know thy child.
That's right. And also, like a family checklist, like how old are your kids? If you have smaller children, like toddlers and preschoolers, you might want to think you're better off with a smaller dog. Some people would think so. Or you would want a dog that takes the bumps and not turn around and nip at a child. Bigger dogs can handle the rough play of younger children many times than smaller dogs. So most people would be inclined to go small, but you might think that a bigger dog might be a better fit. How active are you and how much time do you spend with the dog? These are questions, Paul, that you ask clients all the time when you're helping them.
Yeah, I ask about their work schedule, their social schedule, their obligations, maybe with the child and their schooling.
Sure.
Like PTAs and after school activities and,
sure,
things along that line. Usually we get to a point where the people realize, gee, we don't have a lot of spare time.
Yeah. I think when questioned, people understand, and it's nice to be able to go through those set kind of questions. And I do want to mention that Paul does do selection for the proper breed or adoptive pets for you, and will help you on that. So, definitely his contact information is through Radio Pet Vet, or your local phone number is
520-429-5133.
So, for example, some people may... Can you repeat that again?
No, I forgot. What was it?
520-429-5133. I even remembered.
Yes.
Thank you, Shane. So we were talking about, activity levels, like Jack Russell. There is a dog that is really high energy. It can be a lot of fun for kids, but they're not right for a family who doesn't have the time to keep them active.
Yes.
Okay.
And let's just make them the breeders and owners, angry at us.
Yes.
Jack Russells are terrible little dogs that like to go to ground and chase small things, and they're very obsessively compulsive with chasing small things like rats and...
Like small children?
And
yes.
Could be small children.
Yes.
So, again, it's not every single Jack Russell is a problem.
No.
But when you're going out and you're bringing a dog home into your family with small children and maybe some other pets and whatever else, you have around the house, certainly you want to get the best percentage. So Jack Russell is on the lower end of that list.
Well, let's talk about some breeds that might be on the list. For example, the article mentioned Golden Retrievers, one of the most popular breeds in the U.S. They're kid hardy, most of the time.
Yes.
And so, you know, toddlers and whatnot bumping into them. We've had a number of rescues that we've done with Goldens, and they've worked out really well.
Yeah. Now, what about the problem with Goldens with thyroid problems, which can cause aggression? So
right.
I don't want the Jack Russell people to feel like that's the only breed I'm maligning. I can malign every breed because they, when they're a purebred dog, it's easy to keep statistics on some of the problems that the
sure.
breeds have,
sure.
right? But, again, in that generalization, considered one of the best dogs there are for service dogs.
Right.
All right? So because they are generally considered very sound in temperament. So sir, I can understand that being on pretty much on the top of the list.
But you're right. I mean, there has to be provisos on all animals we're talking about. For example, Labrador retrievers. Another good breed to be considered.
Yes.
Don't require that much brushing, but they do shed a lot. So they're a dog in the southern Arizona area.
Allergies.
Allergies and make sure where they're on a good omega-3. You've heard me say that a couple times today, the omega-3, 6 fatty acid combination of large pet essential fats or small pet essential fats.
Well, remember now, we just spoke with Pat about a German Shepherd.
Yeah.
From the Newskeet breed, which is the Monks of Newskeet up in upstate New York, been around for many, many years. Every now and then you're going to get a dog that doesn't fit into your household.
Sure.
So, you know, certainly you want to make sure you do start with proper breeding.
Right.
All right. And,
right.
And then you've got a better chance of having a good dog.
And so they mentioned for some small dog, the Cavalier King Charles.
Excellent.
We'll talk about some other dogs, too.
Yeah.
We've got Charles hanging on. We'll come back to his question. A lot more Radio Pet Fed coming your way. We'll be right back after this commercial break. Okay, we hope you've been enjoying the show. This is Radio Pet Fet. And that kind of time between the holidays and New Year's, it's kind of that in-between time. And so we know you're kind of just rousing and getting out of bed, but we hope you've been listening to the show. I want to remind you, we also are on the Igloo smartphone app. So you can go to Igloo and get the Dr. Randy Pet Vet app and listen to our show anytime you'd like.
I-G-L-O-O?
I-G-L-U. Igloo.
Oh.
I know. Yes, from our good friends at Radio Links. So let's talk to Charles in Tucson. Hey, Charles, how you doing?
Good morning, sir. I'm fine. How are you guys doing?
We're doing great, thanks. How can we help you?
Okay, Dr. Randy, I have this month, he's turning 3 years old, a little male, a neutered cat. He's a long-haired gray with yellow eyes. And I have him on the Two Docs essential oils, and have him on the GI support.
Okay.
It's amazing what it's done for him. When I got him for about a year, you know, he would eat like that other lady was talking about and then throw it up. But as soon as I got him on that stuff, he hasn't even thrown up a hairball, and that's been a year.
You know, and that, thank you for letting us know that, for letting other people know. But what you've done with the omega-3 and 6 fatty acid and the GI defense, which is a pre- and probiotic, is you basically achieved perfect bowel health for him, Charles, and that's what you get. I mean, when their bowel is really, really healthy, their GI tract is obviously healed, and it'll show you that. Also, you know, in that situation, it also protects him, his immune system. You know, 60% of his immunity is right in his gut. So if you've made his bowel healthy, his immune system is really keyed up.
Yeah, he likes it really well. And like I say, he seems to be, his hair has become more oily than it ever was before.
Sure.
It was real dry down next to the quick.
Sure.
And and talking about, he's only had his rabies shot, but he does not go outside at all. And
okay.
I live on a second story, so
sure.
he's away from the ground.
Okay.
So I was wondering if I should get him parvo and stuff like that.
No. So here's what I would do. You know, rabies are still a threat for all of us anywhere in Arizona or anywhere because animals can get into the house. Can, you know, we've had bats fly and all of these crazy things, and it sounds crazy, but it's definitely worth keeping your cat up on the rabies vaccine. What I would advocate you doing is when the cat goes in for a rabies vaccine, Charles, have them do a titer for distemper and panleukopenia and Khaleesi, which are the things we worry about in cats. What that is a blood test to test his protection against those because they're airborne and it's still really important to make sure that they're protected, but no way necessary to get the vaccine if their titers come back protected. Okay? And so what we do at PAWS is we would do the annual rabies vaccine, but we would do the distemper Khaleesi panleukopenia, what we call titer or blood test, and within a week to 10 days we have that back and we know whether it's necessary for him to even have that vaccine. I have seen cats, Charles, that go 5, 6, 7, maybe the rest of their life, years, and not need that vaccination.
Cool. That's great.
Okay.
Yeah, I have one other question.
Please.
Okay, I've got him on joint support, but he'll eat it for 2 or 3 days, and then he won't touch his food that I mix it in with.
Right.
Do you have any suggestions?
A lot of times what I'll do is if he seems to be like a fishy eater, meaning he likes fishy flavor, I'll keep a little tuna around and just use the juice and mix it into that and then put it on the food. That works well, or you can mix it in. Some cats like, believe it or not, canned pumpkin, and you can mix it into that because it's a great way to mix the powder in. Or even a little bit of low-fat cottage cheese or something like that. Those would be some suggestions that I would try.
Okay, I have him on a product called Wild Callings.
Yes.
Okay, they mix their food with sweet potato. Is that as good as pumpkin or not?
Yeah, sweet potato is a great source. The only time I worry about sweet potato in my cats is if I'm worrying about weight, you know, a weight problem. If there's no weight problem, it's a great source of carb, and it's great to mix that in, you bet.
Great. Yeah, he's a great little guy, man. I want to get him in as soon as I can to have another checkup.
Sounds like you're doing all the right things, Charles. Good for you, and I applaud you for the, you know, taking care of them. And it's really, for me, it's very accomplishing to hear, you know, your omega, you know, your essential fats and your GI defense is working the way it's supposed to, because that is the basis of their health, and you're seeing the results, and that you couldn't ask for more than that.
One other thing, Doc, and thank you for that. You mentioned before a cough. Now, you know how they
right
like that?
Right.
Well, since I've owned him, he's only done it that I've noticed 5 or 6 times.
Sure.
Is that anything to worry about?
No. In cats, a lot of times, it's, you know, they are dealing with a little bit of a hairball issue or something like that. As long as it's been that infrequent, nothing to worry about at all.
Excellent, Doc.
Okay, buddy.
Excellent show. Thank you. Bye.
Have a great holiday, Charles.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Thanks for calling.
Thank you. Happy New Year.
Okay.
Dr. Rainey, Holly. A couple of comments about Charles' situation. One is I wanted to know if sardines are because you mentioned tuna.
Wonderful.
My cats love sardines.
Wonderful.
And the sardine oil and such like that.
Yeah, wonderful.
So that works.
Absolutely, because very, very high in omega-3s, too.
Sure.
Sardines are very, very healthy for you. Shane, I know.
And you mentioned tuna.
Do you eat sardines? You
got. I love sardines.
I know.
Sardines and mustard, sardines and Louisiana hot sauce.
But you don't want to do that for your
sardine
cat.
Sardine sandwiches.
Oh, sardine
peanut
sandwiches.
Butter.
Oh, no, peanut butter. No peanut butter. Mm. Just the sardines. But a quick question. You mentioned canned, and I wanted to check because I love tuna fish and oil.
Right.
But a lot of the, you know, the healthy people, I'm doing that thing with my fingers, want to eat tuna fish and water.
Right.
Will both work for what
Absolutely.
You just suggested?
Okay. Actually, and a lot of times with our cats, I do the tuna and oil because I'm looking for moistening internally. If they're not doing what Charles is doing, like the GI defense and like the small pet essential fats, I'll look for that because it does. And actually, I like that a lot for my older constipated cats. You know, we get a lot of animals that pull more water out of their stool. There's a reason for that. We've talked about kidney failure and other issues where that will happen. The tuna oil actually works pretty well. But remember, that can't be their only diet because the tuna is deficient in taurine. And you get some eye problems, some severe eye problems if you do that. But sardines are great.
Okay. So second question.
Yes, Paul.
Or
you can,
comment.
You only get one.
Or comment.
Yes.
Because you were deficient in discussing.
I'm
turning on you now because you were impolite to me just now.
No, Shane caused that.
It was me.
Oh, okay. So the thing about rabies.
Yes.
And you mentioned that, you know, maybe, you know, a bat will fly into the house or something like that. And,
right.
And it's happened in my house. So
yeah.
I know these things happen. Came down the chimney.
Bats in your belfry.
Bats in my belfry.
Okay.
So the other concern, though, Charles should have is if his cat's not up on rabies, and should it break the skin on any visitor?
Correct.
All right, just break the skin.
Correct.
Not, it doesn't have to be a bite.
Correct.
Which, unfortunately, the public is sometimes not aware.
They're not aware of it.
If they just get a little scratch from a nail.
Yep.
Boom, that cat's going to animal control, animal care,
right.
For quarantine.
Yep.
You can't home quarantine an animal that's not up to date on its rabies.
That's correct.
So, you know, not only for the, you know, protection of the animal itself, but also for the protection of the public.
Yes.
You need to keep them up on it.
Yeah, because cat scratches and bites, like dog scratches and bites, are reportable. So basically, if you go to an MD and you have any of these types of things, then they have to report that.
Yeah.
Which means that if the cat isn't up to date, and so we want to avoid that situation totally.
Right.
I mean, I've had some horror stories about animals scratching other people and whatnot and having some exposure and really getting into trouble. So yeah thank you for mentioning that.
Okay.
Good point.
And
every once in a while you come up with a good
point. You know, and then the last thing real quickly, because we have one more call.
That's okay.
I just want to make sure that everybody out there for the new year, you know, sets the resolution as you mentioned that Charles has achieved, which is to have real balanced bowels.
Absolutely.
To everybody.
It's a huge thing. I mean, we've talked about
balanced
it enough.
Bowel.
It sounds wonderful.
What is that, a mnemonic, Doc? I forget the name for that. And I know you went to college and it was balance the bowels.
Yeah.
Okay, just checking.
Yeah, exactly. Let's get off of this subject and talk to Tom in Tucson. Hey, Tom, how you doing?
Okay. My toy poodle is 17 and a half years old, and he's coming up with, he's just pooping blood, and I didn't know if he has the bird flu or if he's dying, and he's also stopped eating for 24 hours.
Well, this is something that, Tom, he definitely should see somebody right away for. I mean, in an older dog, we talked earlier about the younger dog and blood in their stool. But, you know, if he stopped eating and he's got blood in his stool, there could be some real issues going on, but also things that can be very corrected. I mean, I realize he's 17, but the bottom line is the chances of him having, let's say, parvovirus versus, like, you know, a polyp or cancer in his bowel or some other disease where his bowel is getting inflamed or irritated would be huge. But that's something that a veterinarian should be able to pick up very quickly and help him with. And remember, age isn't a disease. So just because he's 17 doesn't mean that he gets this stuff. There could be some underlying problem that needs to be addressed.
Thank you.
Okay, buddy. Thanks. So for all of us at Radio Pet Vet, thanks for listening to the show. We're going to actually do a best of again next week, which Shane doesn't know of and Paul doesn't know of yet. But I have some family requirements. So we're going to wish you a happy new year right now and tell you that for the new year, we hope that you listen to more Radio Pet Vet, that you go to our website, which is RadioPetVet.com, that you go to our YouTube site, DrRandyPetVet.com, or Facebook or Twitter, and chime in on the discussion. Wellness, for all of us, loving and compassion to all beings for the year is a great way to go. And thank you, Shane. Thank you, Chuck, for helping us with the show today. We really enjoyed being here. Wishing your pets, give your dogs and cats a big hug and kiss for Polly B and myself. We'll be back after the new year with a lot more new Radio Pet Vet shows. Really, really appreciate your patronage and achieving wellness for all of us, helping us get to that point, too. We'll talk to you next year. Have a great holiday.
Don't
well.
Drink and drive.
Please. Talk to you soon.